Let's all stand. It's Joshua chapter 8. Joshua 8, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. I have given into thy hand. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Well, they slaughtered Jericho. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. You may be seated. Today's message is Law Case Part 5. There were two separate articles that appeared in the Cincinnati Inquirer and the USA Today newspapers on Friday, August 17th of this year. The first article is about the death of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. It was titled, Aretha Franklin's Civil Rights Legacy. I didn't know about this. It wasn't about all the gold records that she recorded. It was about her support of her Baal preacher father's anti-Christian civil rights movement. I added Baal. Aretha was needed in the civil rights struggle that her father, Negro preacher C.L. Franklin, helped lead. Aretha had helped fund the communist movement quietly and anonymously for decades. I added the word communist. The article says, the family friends who came to her house as a child and who visited her apartment in recent weeks to pray and to reminisce weren't just family friends. They were human rights soldiers and civil rights generals, and dedicated ministers across the country, unquote. Soldiers and generals? Seems to me a war is going on. According to Jesse Jackson, Aretha was the one who helped the civil rights movement make payroll. For decades, that's 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Aretha helped the communist ministers and activists in the streets, doing everything from providing support for the families of jailed patriarchs to bridging the gaps between a rally planned and a rally happening. Aretha was a global star and a private civil rights activist. She gave a concert and raised over $1 million for the African National Congress when Nelson Mandela visited Detroit in 1990, shortly after he was released from prison. So we can conclude that Aretha Franklin was part of the communist takeover of the United States. Her song, Respect, reflects the Jewish anti-Christian teaching on what a woman should be. Aretha said that she was to be a career woman, putting off having a baby until it was almost too late in life, and aborting a baby because that is her choice and she should have R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's the communist way, not the Christian way. The second article was even more disturbing. It appeared to Cincinnati Inquirer. It was titled, Anderson Groups Unite the Fight Hate with Peace. The first question that the article should answer is, what is the hate to Greater Anderson, mainly a white suburb in eastern Cincinnati, groups are fighting? Now, comments inside of the brackets are mine. It was the appearance of the Ku Klux Klan recruitment flyers in Anderson Township. Because of these flyers, Greater Anderson Promotes Peace, the G-A-P-P, and Anderson Churches for Racial Unity, ACRU. They have all these abbreviations. Held a gathering at the Peace Pole in Beach Acres Park from 7 to 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, August 19th, 2018. My bet is most of the people who went there do not know that the Peace Pole is a phallic symbol. It reminds me of the heretical Maypole dance that is held every May the 1st. The leaders of the group were quoted as saying that people can join and share their commitment to a community that rejects hate and fear. They said it started when the KKK recruitment flyer showed up in Summit area of Anderson Township around August the 5th. At least one, I underlined bold print and underlined one, at least one resident, took to Facebook after finding a flyer in the driveway of her 8 Mile Road home. Naturally, there's a rise of white supremacy activity. And my comment, why do you think that is happening? The group was founded in early 1999 after the painting of swastikas on a Jewish family's Anderson Township home. My comment, who did it? I searched and couldn't find out which person or persons was guilty of painting it on the Jewish home. I do not know. I do know a lot of times Jewish people paint swastikas on their homes and synagogues and let the press blame hate groups. I don't know if this was the case or not. Now back to their article. The group has embraced the Southern Poverty Law Center's 10 ways to fight hate. The leader of the group added, if we don't hate, hate persists. Well, I went on the Southern Poverty Law Center website to find the 10 ways that they say to fight hate. And here are the 10 ways. Number one, act. Number two, join forces. Number three, support the victims. Number four, speak up. And I copied what was under this fourth topic. Don't allow hate groups to masquerade as white pride civic groups or heritage organizations. In their literature and on their websites, they denigrate certain groups of people, typically people of color and Jews. My comment, why Jews? Seek out comments from local police, state human rights commissions, the Southern Poverty Law Center, or the Anti-Defamation League, Jewish groups. The fifth reason, educate yourself. Six, create an alternative. Seven, pressure leaders. Eight, stay engaged. Nine, teach acceptance. And 10, dig deeper. My comment. Nowhere in the 10 ways to fight hate does it instruct the person to read the Bible to find out what the truth of the matter is. The Bible, to them, Jews, is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what it says because they believe it's a myth. That is the way the case in federal court went. It was not about getting to the truth. Most of the reasons that I felt were relevant to the case were called irrelevant by the lawyer's atheist lawyer. More about this later in the sermon. The article finished by saying that the Anderson churches are doing something by organizing a gathering at the Peace Pole, the phallic symbol. Now, that's a strange place to meet. Why not meet in one of the 501c3 church buildings? The article goes on to say that this is one way the community can peacefully say no to hate and stand up for diversity, understanding, and inclusion, quoting Louis LaWare, founder and executive director. So you say no to hate, and you stand up for diversity. So diversity is the opposite of the hate. And let's see. At the gathering, participants are invited to read a prayer, read one, or a poem, or a song, or a quote that expresses these themes. Alongside this article, there was a file photo of about 30 people surrounding the Peace Pole in Beechacres Park. It doesn't say what year the picture was taken. Well, I decided to look a little bit further into this peace-promoting group. The first thing that I found was that the Heritage Universalist Unitarian Church was a leader in the movement. What is the HUUC? From their own website, quote, this is an unbelievable statement. Heritage Church is part of the Unitarian Universalist denomination, which encourages each person to search for their own understanding of truth and meaning and does not tell people what to believe. Individuals in our church draw inspiration from various sources, including Western religions, Eastern religions, pagan practices, and humanist thought. That's the Heritage Church. It's their own website. You can go look at it. Instead, what holds us together is a sense of community and shared principles. By coming together in worship, work and play, we nourish our souls. By participating in social justice initiatives, we help heal the world, unquote. Now my comment. So their own website tells the world that this is not a Christian church. Would a person from Christian identity be welcome there? It should be, but it's not. Why not? He searched the Bible and arrived at what he believes. But he wouldn't be there anyway because the Bible instructs him not to mix with people who worship another god or gods. The website also makes this anti-Christian statement. Now we're back to the Heritage Church website. We seek to act as a moral force in the world, believing that ethical living is a supreme witness of religion. We know that our relationships with one another, with other peoples, other races, and other nations should be governed by justice, equity, and compassion. Well, my comment, of course, they believe all people are equal, except those who disagree with them. Same is true in the book Animal Farm. That is a great book. Some are more equal than others. If you read that book, you know what that means. We affirm and promote with full participation of all persons without regard to race, color, gender expression, affectional or sexual orientation, national origin or physical activity, and all church-sponsored activities. Thus, we say of ourselves that we comprise one church, many paths, unquote. My comment, one Baal church, many gods. Nothing about the covenant that the Lord God made with Abraham. It is the blood of the everlasting covenant that brought the great shepherd of the sheep from death to life. Now we got a picture of the peace pole. They actually went to the government and proposed this peace pole be made. The Greater Anderson Promotes Peace is a nonprofit organization serving Anderson Township, Mount Washington, Newtown, and Western Claremont County since 1999. GAPP provides community building activities and programs that honor diversity, encourage understanding, and promote inclusion. A member of Heritage UU Baal Church is executive director of CAPP. The church's Reverend Gupton serves on the advisory board, and members of the church are often involved in GAPP actions. Now, the next picture, they're marching in the Cincinnati Pride Parade. Cincinnati Pride celebrates what? The diversity of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community and raises awareness in the area. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. Heritage Juju Bail Church members march in the parade and help work the UU booth at the festival. Varieties of Gender is a peer-led, professionally facilitated, anonymous, and confidential support group for people who self-identify as transgender or gender variant. The group is independent of the Bail Heritage Church, but the Bail Church provides a free meeting place. And then the LGBT Ally training curriculum has been developed by members of Bail Heritage Church. The curriculum is free to download and use and can be found here. Now I've got a picture of the sign. Heritage Universalist Unitarian Church. This Sunday, the sweet message of universalism. And then, get this, on their website it says, Unitarian Universalism is a liberal religion born of the Jewish and Christian traditions. It's an oxymoron. We keep our minds open to the religious questions people have struggled with in all times and places. My comment, the church is a hybrid. How can two opposing groups merge? They are the religions of the two seed lines that have enmity between them. This is a false church, as is all Judeo-Christian 501c3 churches. Now back to their website. We believe that personal experience, conscience, and reason should be the final authorities in religion. Left God out of there, didn't he? In the end, religious authority lies not in a book, person, or institution, but in ourselves. My comment, not the books of the Bible either. Back to their website. We put religious insights to the test of our hearts and minds. We uphold the free search for truth. We will not be bound by a statement or belief. We do not ask to subscribe to a creed. We say ours is a non-creedal religion. Ours is free faith, unquote. I had to make a little comment on that. But they have a creed. No one doesn't have a creed. They have a creed. It is an anti-Christian creed. They support LGBTQs, which the Bible declares is an abomination to him. They support interracial marriages, which the Bible declares is an abomination to him. They say that they have the ability to think for themselves and ignore what the Lord God instructs Israel to do, which the Bible declares is abomination to him. They are a modern-day Baal church. You can only have free thought if it agrees with their positions. Now back to their website. We believe that religious wisdom is ever-changing. Human understanding of life and death, the world and its mysteries, is never final. Revelation is continuous. We celebrate unfolding truths known to teachers, prophets, and sages throughout the ages. My comment, the Bible gives to his covenant people the laws that will provide them blessings from God if they are obeyed and curses if they are not kept. Back to their website. We affirm the worth of all women and men. We believe people should be encouraged to think for themselves. We know people differ in their opinions, and lifestyles, and we believe these generous differences generally should be honored, unquote. They do not believe this in the least. Any Christian identity student who studies the Word of God and reaches his conclusion would be called a hater by this group, and are called a hater by the group. Back to their website. We seek to act as a moral force in the world, believing that ethical living is the supreme witness of religion. The here and now and the effects of our actions will have on future generations deeply concern us. We know that our relationships with one another, with diverse peoples, races, and nations should be governed by justice, equity, and compassion, unquote. They really don't believe this lie either. They don't think that all peoples, including repeating rapists, pedophiles, murderers, robbers, etc., should be governed with the same equity and compassion. Lois DeWare holds a master's degree. Now, she's the big cheese in these organizations. She holds a master's degree in culture and spirituality from Holy Names University and studied earth literacy at Genesis Farm in New Jersey. Well, I knew where Genesis Farm in New Jersey was. I assume it's in New Jersey. But where is Holy Names University located? I had no idea. So I had to Google it. It's in Oakland, California. Oh, she's a Californian. She has been involved with the IJPC. I, Intercommunity, J, Justice, and P, Peace, C, Center for 25 years, including 6 years as a member of the board. My comment, but has she ever read the Bible? IJPC, quote, you'll like this, Joe. The IJPC holds the position that implementing the death penalty, even for the most serious of crimes, is morally wrong and a violation of basic human rights, unquote. My comment, I should say they should read the sermon that Joe gave. But the Bible gives over a half dozen crimes that are to be dealt with the death penalty. This position is opposite what the Lord God of Israel instructed his people to do. Back to the website. In addition to that, we believe the system as it stands is so broken that it'd be nearly impossible to fix. To date, 9 men in Ohio have been found innocent of the crimes for which they were convicted after spending decades on death row and not having been exonerated. Research shows that receiving the death penalty in the state of Ohio is highly dependent upon geographic region and more likely when the accused is a person of color and the victim is not, unquote. My comment. That is because a person of color is more likely to commit a crime that is worthy of the death penalty. It isn't the death penalty that's wrong. It's the way the court system determines who is guilty. God's law mandates that a person must be absolutely proven guilty before he is sentenced to death. Now back to their website. It also shows that it is not an effective deterrent to murder. That it is emotionally damaging to the prison staff who must carry out the law, and that inflicts further trauma on the families of the murder victims. It is estimated that Ohio spends nearly $17 million a year on capital cases at a minimum, depleting needed revenue for better policing and crime prevention initiatives. My comment. When it takes so long for the death penalty to be handed out, no wonder it's no deterrent to the crime. God's law didn't say take 30 years to put a guy to death. And there's a person holding up the sign, cruel and unusual penalty. And her shirt says no about the death penalty. Louise is the executive director of GAPP, which is the Greater Anderson Promotes Peace, which works to honor diversity, encourage understanding, and promote inclusion in Anderson Township. Louise also serves as treasurer for the Communist Martin Luther King Jr.'s Coalition and is on the planning team for Rethinking Racism, a program of IJPC and the CHRC, the Cincinnati Human Rights Commission. Louise and her husband have 5 adult children and 5 grandchildren. And there's a picture of Louise. So I want to find out a little bit about Louise. So I Googled her. Louise Loewer, Executive Director of Greater Anderson Promotes Peace, a nonprofit founded in 1999, says her group supports changing the Anderson High School logo from the Indians. She says that it is derogatory to the Indian tribes that used to live here. Here's a quote. "This is an opportunity to do the right thing for the future students at Anderson High School." She also says that we urge everyone to stand up on behalf of victims of harassment and intimidation. "We renew Communist King's call to continue the struggle for freedom and human dignity. And we urge everyone to act to awaken the dozing conscience of those who are not engaged in ensuring that equality, justice, and liberty become a reality for all people, regardless of their race," unquote. My comment: where is her husband? Does he approve of what she is doing? Frank, her husband, now works in Cincinnati as a, help me, endocrinologist. When they were in their 20s, they lived in Chicago. Everybody lives in, all these bad liberals live in Chicago. They lived in Chicago where he was a graduate student at the University of Chicago. Louise was riding the train to work. This is from the website. She had just began to read J.R.R. Tolkien's Two Towers and was using for a bookmark an absentee ballot marked for a vote for George McGovern and sealed in a stamped envelope. It's from their own website. Halfway through the first chapter is when the train she was riding and another train collided with each other. She was almost killed. Very close. She was in the hospital for several weeks recovering. Now back to the website. The groups Louise leads continues to say that when hate literature is received in our community or any hate incident occurs, you can respond in a way that creates a positive outcome by contributing to the organization that is committed to teaching tolerance, such as, which groups? Well, GAPP. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Jewish Community, or the National Underground Railroad Museum. My comment. So if there's something that is considered a hate literature that is tossed onto your driveway, or some hate crime is committed in your community, the HUUC teaches that you should write a letter to the offending people, and then contribute to the Southern Poverty Law Center, or the American Jewish Committee, or the Greater Anderson Peace Plan, or the National Underground Railroad Museum. Why not give the black or brown groups instead of Jewish groups? Why would a person give to one or more of these 4 organizations? All 4 of them are Jewish organizations. You remember the American Jewish Committee was started in 1906 and was the group who declared war on Germany in 1933, 6 years before the war started. You remember that? The Southern Poverty Law Center is nothing more than a Jewish scam that has promoted its self-claimed mission to fight hate in America. George Clooney and his wife wrote in a statement when they gave $1 million. To the SPLC, $1 million. Here's their quote. "We are proud to support the Southern Poverty Law Center and its efforts to prevent violent extremism in the United States. My comment. So what do these groups have to do with hatred among groups in America? It's because it is the Jews who are manipulating the minorities into thinking that they deserve to live the good life, because the white people are guilty of being slave owners to their ancestors. Nothing is said about the 13,000 plus black slave owners in the United States. There was a black slave owner in every slave state in the Union. It was a Jew who was president of the NAACP. It was a Jew lawyer, a scribe, who went to court and eliminated the Sabbath blue laws. It was a Jew who promoted feminism, same-sex marriages, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There's only one race, and so forth. It was a Jew who interpreted the Bible to say the world will end with the rapture of the church. Ken Ham wrote an editorial column in the Cincinnati Enquirer that was published on September 3, 2017, that said the key leaders of the civil rights movement were pastors, such as Martin Luther King Jr. and our own Fred Shuttlesworth. Mr. Ham didn't mention it, but both these men were black and communist. He says that, quote, Christians should use their very powerful weapon, the Bible, to fight racism, unquote. By comment, that's an impossibility, for the Bible teaches racism. God is a racism. What is wrong with being one? Read Jim Jester's book. But Baal disciple, Mr. Ham, goes on and teaches that, quote, Mr. Ham writing in the Cincinnati Enquirer article, Christian teaching formed much of the playbook for the great civil rights leaders, black and Jewish. That's my comment. Now back to his article. They recognized that humans were made in the image of God and thus they all shared the same value in the eyes of their creator. My comment. Totally ignores the individuals who have Satan as their father. Back to the article. Adam and Eve were recognized as the first couple, and as their descendants, we inherited the tremendous genetic variation that gave us the different skin shades, eye shapes, etc. we observe today. My comment, Adam and Eve were the first white people, not the father and mother of all races. Ken surmises that Adam and Eve were mid-brown in color, not white. Back to Mr. Ham's article. Furthermore, the Bible's book of Acts teaches that all people are of one blood. In the Christian worldview, there are no different races but just one. My comment. Ken Ham didn't quote one verse of scripture in the entire article. He referenced the book of Acts. He didn't give even the chapter and verse. But in the verse he was referencing, Acts 17:6, the word blood is not in the original. There's no reference given to the covenant the Lord God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed. The Lord gave to them his laws. He was the king, so he had to give them the laws. And if they obeyed him, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed him, they would be cursed. Isn't that racist? Back to the website. Here is the sample letter the GAPP tells their followers to write if they receive any hate literature in their driveway, on their car, or any place. So if you receive a hate letter, here's what you do. You put your address, put Cincinnati, Ohio, or wherever town you live in, put the date, the name, the organization's name, address, Cincinnati, Ohio, and you say, Dear Sir, today I received your literature on my doorstep. My values and beliefs did not allow me to remain silent in the face of the false information and hateful, divisive attitudes it contained. I hope this letter helps you see that the hateful lies, not just lies, but hateful lies you published don't change the hearts and minds of good people who believe in peaceful coexistence, value each person, and celebrate diverse backgrounds and cultures. This is why I'll be sending a donation of so much money to the name of the organization here. This organization has a long history of working towards cooperation and understanding between people of all races and creeds. I wanted you to know what your fire had this effect on me. It made me realize that I needed to do something positive in response to your message of hate. Your fire inspired me to work for peace and against divisiveness. I want you to know that because of your action, I have made an equal but opposite reaction in the hope of canceling out the hate you are trying to spread. I am writing to my neighbors, asking them to donate like the one I'm making. That way you'll see that your efforts, contrary to causing division and hatred and causing others like me to work towards peace and understanding in our generation. My hope for you is that your heart has changed someday and you can turn away from the pain and hatred you seek to communicate. Sincerely, give your name, send a copy to Greater Anderson Promotes Peace in the Forest Hills Journal. That's enough for me. Whoa. I didn't expect all that. Fighting hatred by donating to your enemies. If you want to, go to a Jewish church that has no creed, but it believes in LGBTQ and is based on Eastern religions, pagan practices, and humanist thought. Go to the Heritage Universalist Unitarian Church. Which God will you serve, Baal or Christ? Now, what does all this above have to do with the federal trial that I attended along with Andrew? I would answer a lot. Why? Because the Heritage Universalist Unitarian Church, the Greater Anderson Promotes Peace, the Anderson Churches for Racial Unity, the Cincinnati Human Rights Commission, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Jewish Community, so forth, are all devoid of the Holy Scriptures. They do not state anywhere that the solution to any problem is found in the Holy Book. All these groups are anti-Christian to the core. And so is the court system. The trial began, and the plaintiff called their first witness. It was one of the two prisoners who had brought the lawsuit against the Department of Correction of the State of Michigan. The prisoner's name was Scott P. Scott began by saying, what did he begin with? What would you have said if you were in his shoes? Scott began by quoting a verse of Scripture, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, who's the I in this verse? It's the Lord God. The Lord God put enmity between two groups of people. The two different groups of people didn't begin to hate each other over some trivial incident. God himself put the enmity in the DNA of the two different groups of people. And there's no verse anywhere in the Holy Scriptures that says this enmity was taken out by the Lord God. The two groups still have hatred between them. The defense should have asked, they should have said this, who are the two groups that hate each other? For there can never be peace on the earth if one person from either of these two groups are still alive. Either one group must be entirely wiped off the face of the earth, or the other, or both. There could never be what the GAPP is working for, peaceful coexistence. If there are two seed lines that have a hatred towards each other, a hatred that was put there by the Lord God himself. But neither side asked. Scott P. just gave his verse and continued in his testimony. After Scott finished being questioned by both sides, the other graduate student called the other prisoner to the stand, James F. He told his story to the court. They arrived at a statement made by Pastor Dan Gaiman in one of his booklets that Christian Identity was a separatist group and was not violent. They had no idea who he was and didn't care. It was irrelevant to the case. Then they called the defense. First was the main guy, then the secondary guy. The first man was the director of all prisons in Michigan. He gave the final ruling on Christian Identity not being recognized in the jail system. And what did he base his decision on? His assistant. He left the judgment up to his subordinate. He just signed the paper. He was questioned for just a few minutes and then was asked if he could go. That was agreeable to both sides, and he left after being 10 minutes on the stand. So I never saw him again. He left. The secondary man was the most interesting. He was an ordained minister who became the assistant director of the State of Michigan Prison Activities. He was the only one who submitted the paper to his boss that indicated that Christian Identity was not to be recognized by the prison. When he was asked, "How did you arrive at that conclusion?" he answered that he found the information on the Southern Poverty Law Center website. It said that it informed him that Christian Identity was a hate group and was prone to violence. Genesis 3:15 in live action once again. The ACF lawyer had a field day with that answer. His lady graduate lawyer then asked her witness the following question. Do you know that the SPLC has identified the Nation of Islam in the same way as they identified Christian Identity? He replied, no, he didn't see it. She replied, it was on the same page. But he insisted he didn't see it. The next question. Then why is the Nation of Islam allowed to have their weekly meetings and Christian Identity is forbidden to? No response. Then it really got interesting. The woman graduate passed out Bibles. She passed out Bibles to the judge, the witness, and his lawyer. She passed out three Bibles to. She then proceeded to ask the witness to read the scripture, and then she would ask him a question. First, well, he had to read Joshua 8, verses 1 and 2, our introductory verses. Then she went to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Yeah, this is pretty good. She then asked her witness, after he read the verses, he read these verses, two verses. She asked him, do these verses tell us that God commanded his people to destroy the Canaanites? Wasn't that violence? He responded, well, yes, it was. This continued for several minutes. She would give him a couple of verses to read. He would read them, and she'd ask the same question. He'd give the same answer. Finally, the judge interrupted her and said, "There's no need to keep reading these verses. I believe the point you are making is that God gave the command against the enemies of his people to have them killed. Do you have any other verses that tell us anything else?" The lady Laura said that she did. So she asked her witness to read Numbers 36:6. So the witness would read, "This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry." As the witness read this verse, he was asked, "Does this verse say that daughters are to marry only a person from their tribe?" He answered, "Yes." Then he was asked to read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Well, I read the first two verses a second ago, so we'll go to verse 3. "Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." When the witness finished reading these three verses, the lady lawyer asked him the following question. "Do you agree that these verses teach that Israel was forbidden by their Lord to marry the Canaanites?" The lawyer answered, "It appears so." Then he had to read Nehemiah 13, verses 25 through 27. "And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto their sons, or for yourselves." I think he was pretty strong on that point. If I grabbed you, cursed you, smote some of you, hit some of you, plucked off your hair and said that, I think you're... "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin, S-I-N, by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives?" Oh, the lawyer once again asked the witness, "Do these verses teach that Israel is forbidden to marry certain people?" He answered once again in the affirmative. The judge interrupted and said, It's been a long while since we had the Bible in this courtroom. But all these verses were from the Old Testament. Does anyone know if there was a change in these statements?" This is where the court case didn't search for the truth. The defense lawyer offered his take by saying, "A long time ago, when I was in Bale Sunday School, I learned that there were 10 commandments in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus said there were now just 2. You shall have no other God and love your neighbor as yourself." The atheist and his graduate lawyers and the judge didn't have anything to add. They just said nothing. But this was a time when the truth of Christian identity could have been spelled out. There was nothing said about the race mixing incidents, nothing at all. And what would Christian identity say about the violence? In Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I've made you go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. It's everlasting. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your side." Anybody ever get a thorn? hurts. And their God shall be a snare. Their God shall be a snare unto you. Are their gods a snare unto us? And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice and wept. I think there's many people that are crying now. The enemies of Israel were no longer to be annihilated. They were to live among them and be a possible thorns in their sides. Their gods were to be a possible snare unto them. It was to be a test. Which God would they serve? The Lord God of Israel or Baal? In addition, no one mentioned that the Lord God used to be the king of Israel, and that he ordered his nation to kill the evil seed that had the empty place in them against the holy seed. They didn't mention that God didn't tell them to send missionaries to them first. He just told them to kill every one of them, adults, women, children, infants, and old men and women. And there's a reason for that. That is because they are void of hearing the words of God. The main question, who are the descendants of these Canaanite people who are alive today? It's irrelevant. Israel was not to interracially marry with any of these people. They were to kill every single one of them. But Israel failed to obey their God. Then here's what the court case failed to show. Israel was told that they were not to kill any more of the Canaanites, but they were not to let the gods of the Canaanites be a snare unto them. They were to provide the test to see if Israel would serve the Lord's laws or serve the laws of the gods of the Canaanites. The atheist lawyer didn't want what Christian identity believes to be shown in the court. He just said it was irrelevant. But that was in the Jewish court system. It is relevant in the real world. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.